Jesus Heals Today by an Unknown Author. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew 9, verse 2. The 8th and 9th chapters of Matthew record healings of various sorts by the hand of the Lord Jesus. Accordingly, we read that Jesus had cast the demons out of a man, and because they went into the swine, the whole city besought him to vacate their coasts. He did so, and came into his own country. Matthew 8:28-9, verse 1. Jesus did not cease preaching because some refused his message. He did not quit healing the sick because some people spoke against divine healing. Nor does he cease doing business in the same old way today to please the critics and unbelievers. Seeing their faith. What penetrating eyes our blessed Lord possesses. He saw three things which only the spiritual eye can see. First, he saw that the palsied man was a sinner, though he addressed him as a son, because he was of Israel. His friends brought him for healing, but Jesus beheld that he needed to be forgiven. Ah, truly man's inward state is open and naked before his eye. Nothing can be hid from it. Two, he saw their faith. We can see the results or fruit of faith, but he beholds faith itself, and for that he is looking. He might have observed many other things, the sick man's clothes, his bed, the crowd, etc., but no, he saw what he was looking for, even faith. So it is now. The Lord is casting about to see faith. He stops for the cry of faith. He passes by the high, the great, the wise, the masses, but pays his respects to faith. Faith moves the mighty God, exclaimed the poet, and rightly so. Whose faith? Answer, their faith. The faith of the sick one who desired to be brought. The faith of those who brought him. Wonderful. He asked no questions, made no suggestions, required no corrections, offered no objections. He gave more than they requested, salvation. They brought the sick man for healing, but Jesus saved him. He shouted, Son, be of good cheer, for doubtless he wore a sad, dejected look. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That was the sweetest word he had ever heard. Sins forgiven. Wonderful. Sins against God forgiven. Free from guilt before holy Jehovah. Acquitted before the bar of eternal justice, the highest court of the universe. Peace on earth. Critics on hand. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, they were too cowardly to say it out loud, this man blasphemeth. Matthew 9, verse 3. Yes, strange to say, the fault finders are always present where God is working. The scribes, who stand for the wisdom of men, are fine fellows. They are well informed, discreet, learned in doctrine, able to give advice, even ready to instruct the Lord himself. They do not need God. They are well, have plenty of everything, and are always in demand. But they were too late. The sinner had already been forgiven. Thank God. The third thing that Jesus saw was the unseeable. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Matthew 9:4. Again I exclaim, wonderful. The Lord knew their thoughts. He read their hearts. Invariably he went to the core. Evil is in the heart. Thoughts come from the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Men may close their mouths, they cannot close the heart. The light penetrates, for Christ is the light. How foolish for people to suppose that they can hide from the eye of Jehovah. Jesus put a powerful query to them. Let the objectors to divine salvation or divine healing consider it well. For whether is it easier, that is for God, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Matthew 9, verse 5. That question has never yet been answered. Still men act and talked as if one were easier than the other. They had to admit that the Lord could heal, but they had not seen it demonstrated. But how could he forgive sins? Today they say that he can save men, forgive their sins. However, some claim that he cannot, or at least does not heal. It is not hard for us to believe God for healing, nor to trust him to heal others, but we are certainly puzzled how a saint who knows the book can deny and decry divine healing, especially in the face of the thousands of witnesses to this glorious healing gospel. The Master's credentials. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Matthew 9:6. The visible healing of the sick and suffering were the invincible credentials of our Lord when he was on earth. People believed that Jesus was the sent of God when they beheld the miracles that he wrought. If we, as ministers, cannot rout demons and recover men from sickness and pain, what proof have we that we are gospel heralds? How can we claim to be imitators of Jesus Christ if we proclaim only a very small part of the gospel? Thank Jehovah, the proof was there. And he, man sick of palsy, arose and departed to his house. Matthew 9:7. The sick man arose and departed to his house. The critics' mouths were hushed. Their fault-finding faces were turned to shame. Their charge of blasphemy received a death blow. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. They had to admit that either the blasphemer healed the palsied man, or the Savior of men stood before them and demonstrated it that day by granting a double cure, forgiveness of sins and healing of the body. Now note the effective sequel. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Matthew 9:8. That is, when they saw the bedridden man arise and walk off, they marveled. Not only does the healing of the body glorify the cross of Christ, proving that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, Matthew 8:17, but others are compelled to give God the glory for it. God is arresting the attention of the multitudes today by means of divine healing and the working of various miracles. In our meetings, which are both pastoral and evangelistic, it is our constant joy to give God glory for drawing sinners to Jesus through the healing message and testimony. It may be true that some men are making merchandise of the gospel of healing and enriching themselves with carnal substance and honors. Be it so, shame on us who are seeking nothing for ourselves but seek the glory of Jehovah if we let the selfish be wiser than we. Well may we consider the words of Jesus, the children of this world are wiser in their day and generation than the children of light. Luke 16:8, the Geneva Bible. Nay, we should buy up the opportunity. We should use every scriptural means to get the truth before the people. Praise the Lord, he is enabling us to do it. It is a very common thing for a sinner to come for healing and obtain both forgiveness and healing in 2 minutes' time. Then often the same person goes to the altar and receives the gift of the Spirit. Amen. Again, note the exact language. They glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Not to the Son of Man simply, but to men. This is marvelous, and this is true. What power? Power to forgive sins and power to heal the body. Healing the body was proof of ability to forgive sins. Therefore, we can throw out the challenge boldly, and we do, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 10:43. More boldly, because God has not given power only, but authority, as it stands in the Greek, we have authority to pronounce forgiveness to everyone who believes on Jesus. Also, we have authority to challenge men to believe God for the healing of the body. Our faith in the double cure grows. Our boldness increases into daring, our liberty into largeness. For our blessed Lord announced a simple word that has never yet been revoked except by unbelief. These signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16:17a. The Holy Spirit strengthened this saying by recording that they went everywhere preaching the word, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Matthew 16:20, Diaglot. Oh, beloved, keep on believing God. Never mind the taunts of the tattler, nor the flings of the fluent, nor the pressure of the times. Bring the needy and helpless to Jesus. He turns none away. Let God see your faith. His gracious anointing has passed down to us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Praise ye the Lord.